Sound like me. Coaching error on my part. Anyway, it happened.
Wait to hear.
That won't be a big deal. I remember last time you said this, and it was something like, I know
oh
that's kind of why I want to tell you, because I hope you had the same reaction as you did last time. And you were like, that, I would say that. I was like, okay, fine.
like leg curl instead of leg extension, and you're like, okay, it's fine.
No, this was a different kind of coaching error, but it's fine. I think it's fine. Okay, so hi guys, thank you for letting us do a later day today. Because I went out, I went away on Monday and Tuesday. The rest of my week is absolutely slammed, so this is literally all I can do. If you see me running off screen at any point, it's because I have a small child here. Emma, how's your day?
Good. Do you know the greatest thing happened to me this morning?
What?
I was walking around Battersea with Zoe, and this lovely woman ran past me. And then she came back and she was like, I'm so sorry to be this person, but I'm literally listening to you and Chloe right now. And I was like,
That is so cool. I love that. I look, do you know how many times I go to my gym and I like just come out the toilet and someone's like, oh my God, I'm doing the UC method. And I'm like, oh my God, hi. And then I give people hugs and I like, we call it reverse pothole them. Like I reverse annoy them and then they're like trying to get away from me and I don't stop talking. It's really bad.
And this is exactly why we're going to bring back the EC Method merch, which is almost ready.
Everybody thanks to Emma because she knows that I will not go near this horrific hot potato of work that I don't
Oh,
want to.
I mean, I don't want to jinx it, but I think I've outdone myself on this. So I've managed to get it like as cheap as you. By the way, we make absolutely no money off this. We just want you all to wear our stuff. Or, well,
It's
not
my
our stuff, but EC
potion,
Method stuff.
basically.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I've managed to make it as cheap as humanly possible.
Well done. Well done. And
Yeah.
from what you've shown me, look, the hoodies especially look pretty fucking cool. She likes a hoodie. What can I say? Okay, anything on the live or shall we jump right in?
Let's jump in.
Okay, well, actually, I had one that I wanted to talk about today. So Jenny today on the group posted something and I'm going to find it now. And I wanted to touch on it because I think it applies to a lot of people and I wrote quite a substantial answer under it. So she basically says, and I might paraphrase some of this as it is quite long. I've really lost my way this round. This is round 14 for me, and I'm still here battling with a 3 to 4 kg loss, meaning she's still not quite there yet. I know that my original weight target may not be relevant, especially considering I've been consistently weight training for, I'd say, 3 years now. I'm assuming that I'll be a bit heavier than I historically was. Hysterical. Ah, that too. because I've gained some muscle. I've had really good weeks, and during some of these rounds, I've hit really good places and felt the best I've ever felt. But I don't feel like I always go back there. She's 5'5", bouncing between 73 and 74 kgs. Three work and has done for the last 4 rounds. 3 workouts a week, 70k steps a week. Calories, if I'm honest, I bounce around a bit. So it's usually between 1600 to 2000 calories per day over the course of a month. I'd probably say I average around 1900 lowest. I really want to be bouncing around the 68 to 70 kg mark, as I know that that's not going to give me a perfect picture perfect body, but it will work for me with my social life. I'm frustrated with myself because I really want to feel better about myself. And I work so hard in the gym, but it's honestly just been dominating my thoughts so much for 3 years now. And I'm really struggling to stay positive. It's almost more frustrating as I really do know what I need to do. I have all the tools and knowledge because of YouTube, and I'm still not doing it all. Sometimes it's all I think about every day. What I need to eat is always on my mind. Then I get angry at myself for making wrong choices in the cycle. Of nonsense self-talk takes off. My husband has recently decided to lose weight. He's a big lad, rugby style, and in the space of a few months, he's just dropped weight right off him, only by focusing on one main meal a day. I really can't do that, and I need to eat regularly. Everybody, wait there. I'll be 1 second. Come here. I just have to
I'm
get
just
her.
gonna read out what's on the live. So Mel's just saying, I read this post earlier and love the advice from Chloe. This is my first live and I'm here for it. Just wanted to say thank you, Chloe, for commenting on a reply I made yesterday to someone else in the group regarding propanol.
Yeah.
Made my day.
Oh,
Right,
good.
okay.
Okay. And then she says she's frustrated about her husband just basically losing weight really quickly. I don't know where to start or what to focus on. I'm probably only calorie compliant 5 days a week and then non-compliant every weekend. It's an issue. To add to the mix, I'm always certain I'm perimenopausal, so I suppose I need to get to the doctor ASAP. I'm really sorry for spilling this all out, blah, 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 blah. So I said, okay, so basically the reason why I wanted to read the sites is I think this applies to a lot of people, whether you're on the EC method or not, especially when you have a lot of weight to lose and it takes time. Like, it doesn't just happen overnight. If you've got a significant amount of weight to lose, it's going to take time. And there are going to be points en route where you do get dieting fatigue, and we are going to have to tackle that. And it's not your fault. That's very normal. But the same rules kind of apply to all of you, that we need to look at this much more as a lifestyle change now and stop getting so obsessive about it and learn how to enjoy it and get on with it and accept it and embrace it. So my points back to her were, I'm going to go through this point by point. One, do not focus on the scale weight. Focus on how you feel in your own skin. Then ask yourself, what do I want to spend the next few weeks and months doing with my body? Your workouts and steps all look good. As you noted, activity is not an issue. You need to reset and write out a meal plan for yourself of, let's say, 2 to 3 breakfasts, lunches, dinners, and snacks that see you eating every 3 to 4 hours, happy, satiated, and full. These servings should hit somewhere in the region of 400 to 500 calories a pop, so you are nailing your 1600 to 1800 calorie target daily. 2000 calories is just too high. It's maintenance for you. You can have a social life on 1800 calories easily. You just need to plan for it. So on your more social days, do 300 calories on breakfast and or lunch. And hey, now you have 1,000 to 1,300 calories to spend out on a meal and alcohol. This is more than enough. You're thinking that you have to choose one or the other instead of simply planning it out and understanding that you can actually do both. Spoiler alert, you really can. Stop overthinking this. Get into a pattern and a habit of eating your favorite meals that see you hit your calories Monday to Friday, and then planning your weekends just a little bit better. Stop letting it be this big, scary thing. It's really not. It's just the daily food intake. This is not a big deal at all. Don't feel angry at your husband. This is basic science. Men can eat more than women as they're bigger and they get results faster because they have more testosterone. Whatever, who cares? This is not remotely relevant to you or your journey. Go to the doctor and inquire about HRT. Relax. You are giving this way too much worry. It is what it is. This is basic science and nothing more. So I just wanted to reiterate to people, like, it's really normal to get frustrated en route. It's really normal to have to try and figure out how to balance out a social life and a body goal, whether it's losing weight to get into a healthy BMI or whatever it might be. You have to be really pragmatic about it. You have to think, you have to plan. And as soon as you plan, it's like when you book a holiday or you pack the day before a holiday instead of the day of the holiday, with that comes ease, and then you can enjoy it. You start to become stressed and overwhelmed by things when you basically expect them to work themselves out in the moment. If you plan, once the moment's upon you, you can enjoy it. And this really applies to those of you who want to have a social life as well. I do it. It's absolutely doable, but you have to stay calm and you have to stop getting, for lack of a better word, hysterical and wound up about it. It's another thing about, like, husbands or other people. Don't look around you. Nobody else's journey is relevant to you. Your journey is the only thing that's relevant to you. And there's that amazing meme of one of the runners, like, looking behind him. And as he does, he comes back behind Usain Bolt. Usain Bolt, he's looking straight ahead and he goes straight forward. And that applies to all of you in every context. So, you know, accept also that these lifestyle changes, like I said in the beginning, they're things you're going to have to do for the rest of your life if you actually want to change what you've spent the last few years feeling miserable about. And with that comes huge empowerment. So get excited about it. Don't feel oppressed by it. Be excited for it. So yeah, I just thought that was quite relevant to a lot of people. So I just wanted to touch on
that. I think, yeah, that will resonate with almost everybody. Even if they're not feeling like it right now, I'm sure everyone will have felt like that before.
Yeah.
This is the biggest mindset shift. That shift between, like, I can have this or that. No, no, no. Like, you want to have both. Our whole thing, like, overarching, we want you to live your best life. Like, as cheesy as that is, like, there's probably not a better way to put it, right? Which means we want you to balance social life and losing fat, if that's a goal of yours at the moment. And the thing is, you can't have your best life without both.
Yeah.
It's important to your health. It's important to the way you feel about yourself. It's important to your self-confidence. It's important to so many aspects for you to be a healthy weight where you feel good, where you perform well, where your energy levels are high. But it's also important to have a social life, right? And almost the belief that you can't have both is what's holding you back, you know? And sometimes, and, like, this is kind of like the tough love side of it, but really it's an excuse not to do something. Oh, well, do you know what? I would get in shape, but I can't because I want to have a social life. Now, if you extrapolate that out, You are now saying that any of your friends that are in shape don't have a social life. Like, is that actually true? No, right? So again, it's like, okay, that's just to dismiss your limiting belief, or not dismiss it, because it's an important thing to cover, but like, kind of break that down in your own head. Like, it is absolutely possible. You can have, you know, even if you wanted to be on low calories, you could still go out and enjoy food and enjoy drinks and still say, you know, is it harder? Absolutely, it's harder, right?
Yeah.
I love what Chloe talks about with the pragmatic side of it. Like, I always like to bring this back to budgeting. Like, you can tell yourself it's unfair, but like, budgeting your calories the same way that you would budget your money. If you want to do one thing, then you probably can't do as much of the other thing. If you want to go on holiday, then you might not be able to go on 3 weekends away out of a month. You know, like, there just has to be like some push and pull.
Yeah.
And when you realize, when you do plan ahead, when you do choose your indulgences, when they are like an indulgence, a treat, a rarity, you enjoy them more, not less. Like, these things are big mindset shifts for people. And once you fully embrace that and you're like, oh my God, I got just as much joy from 2 slices of pizza as I normally do from eating the whole thing. The difference is I didn't feel like crap afterwards. I wasn't beating myself up that I'd gone over my calories. I hadn't pushed myself further away from my goals. I'm still enjoying it. And most people haven't actually experienced that. They're just like, I either overindulge or I overrestrict, and I've never done the middle. And so in their head, they're like, every time I have pizza, I'm way off my diet. And it's like, no, you can have 1 or 2 slices and completely stay within, you know, your range for the day, or be in a deficit over the week, which is really what we should be thinking about. And then what else did I have here? That, because as you were writing, I was writing, as you were talking, I was writing. Definitely speak to a doctor about perimenopause. One of the reasons you might be feeling a bit low about this and a bit like it's all encompassing and like you're overthinking things, this is just so common. Like, anyone who's ever struggled with, you know, everyone struggled with their mental health, but anyone who's ever, say, struggled with anxiety normally reoccurs during perimenopause, right? The amount of people, women that get late diagnosed with things like ADHD during menopause, because they were able to mask them before when they didn't have a load of other stuff going on, like fluctuating hormones, but now it's so much harder to deal with. So all of these things are, you know, like, it could completely be explained by the fact that you're struggling a bit more because you're struggling with menopausal symptoms. So definitely go and see your doctor, take on board that stuff, and try and work with yourself, not against yourself. Like, you're doing this because you want to feel good, not as a punishment. And we talk about that a lot, but I think it just needs to keep being like reiterated, like, this is meant to be a positive.
Yeah, absolutely. And stop expecting, stop being upset that something hasn't quite fallen into place yet. There's nothing to be upset about. You go, okay, so I still don't really know how to balance my social life and my diet. Why don't I sit down with the pen and paper for the next half an hour and try to figure it out? What are my calories on a day-to-day basis? How much do I usually spend on, I don't know, 3 to 4 drinks on a weekend? You know, can I have, what would be my ideal meal? Where could I actually compromise and maybe eat a bit smarter to allow for those calories? Or, you know, it's there's nothing to be like, oh, like, really upset about. It's more like, oh, okay, I haven't figured it out yet, so I guess I should figure it out. I should try now. And it doesn't matter if you have to do that over and over and over. You know, Emma, we talked about this in the last slide. Emma and I still have to do this. We still have to reassess and come back and be like, okay, where am I going wrong here? Because that's just life. So yeah. Okay. Anything on the live?
Yes. Okay, Mel, I am planning for my mini goal, going to see Kylie at Hyde Park in July, and want some gold hot pants. Denim cutoffs will be great, but want to feel confident in them. This group is the place to get me there. Love.
I mean, those gold hot pants they're unpull-offable for 99.9% of women. Like, her body, and is that like, it was a joke, wasn't it?
Okay, Frank Pammy D.
Yay!
Oh no, wait, sorry, we're not saying it. She won't care. I wanted to feedback that even though I've dipped in and out of the engagement with the lives and the group, staying with the EC method has absolutely been the framework to keep me going forward with my health goals. I still have ongoing health stuff after breast cancer, but being here keeps me on track and overall with my overall health and strength goals. And we just love you being here. So
yeah, absolutely do.
Okay, not a question, but thanks for the amazing workouts. I'm used to my previous PT giving me huge workouts focusing on one muscle group that lasted well over an hour. I used to dread them and therefore stopped. I love how you're short, sharp, and focus and look forward to them, and I really enjoyed them.
Oh, good.
That isn't actually what she said. She said, so glad I've joined. And I just said, and I'm really glad that.
Emma does a lot. She'll sign off your questions with what she really wanted you to sign off with.
Well, actually, that's better. I'm so glad that I joined. Do you know what I've realized I started doing with the podcast is I definitely think it's a dyslexic tendency, but I'll just see one of the numbers and I'll put it at the start. So like it might now be that, like, I don't know, say we're episode 336. I might just be six and be like, oh, we're episode 600 and whatever. But then what I do is the next episode, I'll just look back at the one, the previous one. So now we'll just jump into like 600 and whatever.
Yeah, no, I've noticed that you do this. I think a few of us have noticed that you do this. It just makes us love you even more. It's just a quirky side effect of the...
I've tried to stop doing it, but yeah. Anyway, right, okay. Hello both, hope you're well. I just listened to yesterday's live with the HIIT chat and had to tell you about the time I jumped on the treadmill at 14 kilometers per hour because I saw the body coach do it. It did not end well, ended up the other side of the gym.
Yeah, I've seen it happen. The body coach loves a bit of cardio, doesn't he? Remember when he was like started lifting weights? I can't remember when, like 2 years ago, and everyone was like, oh my God, look at his body, he started lifting weights. I'm like, it's a PT, why were you not doing that all along? I don't understand. And I like Joe Wicks, just to be clear. But I'm like, surely there was a point where someone was like, maybe we should move away from burpees and do some weightlifting.
Or maybe we should stop putting loads and loads of coconut oil on everything and not have people consume excessive amounts of calories.
Maybe we should talk about calories in one of them. It doesn't matter. Okay, what else? Is there anything else in the live?
No, we're up to date.
Okay.
To be fair to Joe Wicks, though, like his nutrition information initially was pretty awful, right?
Yeah.
But then he changed his mind. And I remember people being like, oh no, you want to talk about calories, like blah blah. And I was like, he's changed. You know what, he's been educated, and he said, to be fair, he didn't say he was wrong, but he has said, oh, actually, you know, calories do matter.
And I completely agree.
I'm like, what do you want from people?
Yeah, no, I completely agree, and that is part of our job. There's stuff that everyone I once believed in that we don't believe in anymore. That's science. You always ask questions. You always get new answers. It's ever evolving. It's ever growing, changing, metastasizing. And you'd be an idiot if you'd be a shit coach if you couldn't say, actually, I was wrong about that. Because you're just doing your clients a disservice and you look like an idiot. Just say, actually, I was wrong about that. Or changed my mind. Or there's new data out there, new literature out there. And I actually do really like, he's friends with like all of my friends, and all every single one of them fully, fully fucking rate him as like a decent human being. And these are good people. So I trust them. It's weird. You know,
I think the other thing is you can really like a person and not like their business. Like there are a few people I met out in South Africa who are in supplement companies. And I'm like, I don't rate what you're selling from a business point of view, but like, I like you as a person, you know, like there's two different things there.
Oh yeah, definitely. There's coaches in my industry who's I just can't like stand on a professional level, but really like on a personal level, and vice versa. There's coaches I love, I hate on a personal level, but really look up to professionally.
I was going to say, okay, so two people on this live have said, "Cooey." And Vicky actually wants us to say her name. Well, does she? I don't know, but she says,
just be clear, this is one person that gave feedback after the last round, basically saying, I really don't think you should say people's full names. Most people don't care.
Yeah, I know. Most people probably like it. But anyway, Vicky's saying, first live, just want to see if I get all fangirl if you read this out.
Hey, Vicky.
Hey, Vicky. She's not got a profile photo. Normally, we'll go and look at your profile and be like, oh,
I Cheeky little pub. Cheeky little Nando's, cheeky little pub.
Okay.
For Julia's birthday, she booked us both a phone call with a psychic. This psychic was the funniest woman I've ever spoken to in my life. And she was like, I won't say who she was talking about, but to Julia. Julia went first. She had her on loudspeaker and she's like, yeah. I mean, she's just one of those women you want to punch your fucking face in. Do you know what I mean? And I was like, this is exactly how my sister-in-law sounds. And I was like, Joe, is that you? But it was so funny. It was one of the funniest half hours of my life. Anyway, okay. Right, next one. Okay, Elizabeth. I need reassurance and or handholding, really. Last week, I did phenomenal. I hit all my non-negotiables and my workouts were great. And then over the weekend, I got bronchitis. This entire week, I haven't been able to take a breath without having a coughing fit. Workouts have not happened. And I know this is okay, but I feel so deflated about losing momentum. Okay, guys, you need to reframe it. When you get ill, taking care of your body is resting. When you're healthy, taking care of your body is exercising. It is what it is. Take care of your body. That's why you're here. Rest. Emma?
Yeah, I think, yeah. I mean, is it frustrating? Yeah. But it's same with impatience, right? Some people are like, oh, I'm so impatient. That's my problem. Like, it's not your problem. It's everyone's problem. Everyone's impatient. The difference between people who get results and don't get results is they don't act on it, right? You can be frustrated. Like, I would be frustrated if I got ill and, you know, my second week into starting something new and I felt like it had impacted my momentum that I built up. Like, would that be frustrating? Yeah. But is there anything you can do about it? No. So you have to do the sensible thing. And it is like, I'm not trying to be tough love. I'm actually trying to just be like, I would feel the same. But you still need to rest, unfortunately.
Yeah. Agree.
And you're not going, like, don't worry about going backwards. You're not going backwards. Like, this is a, you know, this is lifelong change.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you have to have a week off because you're unwell.
Agree. Okay, Mary. This is my first round and I'm feeling motivated and I'm enjoying it so far. I have a 19-month-old and I'm working hard to get back into feeling strong and healthy. And I still have a lot of weight to lose post-baby. I'm enjoying the workouts, but one thing that I'm really struggling with is having more autonomy over things. Previously, I've done strength programming using an app that works around your one rep max for your big lifts and then tells you exactly what weight you should be lifting in each session. Pre-baby, I built a lot of strength and I made real progress with this. Because this is what I'm used to, I'm struggling with just having an 8 to 12 rep range as a recommendation. Would you ever give a percentage recommendation for the squat, deadlift, hip thrust, bench, or is this more about feeling? So number one, I don't know how this app figured out your one rep max or how you figured out your accurate one rep max without, like we've talked about in the last, a professional coach or PT there with you. It's very unlikely that you would have, that I would have been accurate. Second of all, that's...
You can normally do, like, it, again, it's not totally accurate, but you can do, like, an estimated one rep max.
Guesstimated, yeah. Second of all, you will be able... We want you to go to technical failure in the rep range we're giving you. That is the most effective weight for you to be lifting in that rep range. Like, I actually don't think that that's good training advice telling anybody based on an app, based on an algorithm, how much they should be lifting. I actually think that's pretty dangerous and I'm not here for it. I don't ship that. So what I would say is work, lift the heaviest weight you can in that rep range to technical failure and you will be getting absolutely banging hypertrophy results. By technical failure, we don't mean absolute failure. We mean you can basically, you can't lift one more rep with good form, but you could probably smash out another couple and lose your form. We want you to do the former, not the latter.
Yeah, I agree. I think I would, so I do program percentage lifts. I mean, I don't anymore because I don't train powerlifters or strength athletes anymore, but it would only be under like a sport specific or strength specific periodization program.
Yeah.
So saying you would do one rep max or similar, I normally worked off three rep max. And then there's certain percentages that you'd want to lift. You'd probably then do a deload week and then you'd go back up again, right? So there is that. That's more for strength work. If you're looking for hypertrophy, there's absolutely no need to do that at all.
Yeah.
And it's more specific. I was just thinking as Chloe was talking, I was like, would it be better if we did that? And I actually think it would be worse. And
way worse.
The reason for that is that based on how you feel on the day, some days you're going to be able to lift heavier than others, right? It doesn't really matter what the percentage is. When I used to train more sports specific, we did do percentages, and in some ways it was frustrating because you'd be like, and the point was to lift below like what you could be lifting, but some the start of your program tended to just be like piss easy, and then it would get to the point it was like ridiculously hard. I'd still rather just train, like, given that we both had the knowledge to do percentages if we wanted to, and we don't train like that. If hypertrophy is your goal, if body composition is your goal, this is the best way to train. If you have specific strength goals, then I would get a powerlifting coach or like a strength specific coach, and I'd be doing a periodization program.
Yeah.
If you're not training for a sport or for a competition, I wouldn't, you're overcomplicating it.
No, I agree with everything you say. 2 points, like, yeah, look, for a hypertrophy program as well, working on percentages is acceptable. Doing that as an online coach, none of us have been with you. None of us have assessed you. It is irresponsible. It is dangerous. So no, again, agree with Emma. If you wanted to train in that kind of strength or powerlifting modality, then we would want you ideally finding out what your one rep max is with a coach over the period of a few sessions. I actually don't think you can guess what your one rep max is. Mine is like on a deadlift, 105 kg, and there's no way in fucking hell I would know that if I hadn't been pushed to be able to do that like 2 years ago with a powerlifting coach right next to me. I would never have guessed that. And same, my squat was somewhere in that region again. I can't remember what, never would have guessed that that was it. Because you, your one rep max as well. What's my, oh my God, not good. I can't remember. I honestly can't remember, but nowhere near my squat and dead. What's yours?
When I was a lot heavier, but it still amazes me the extent, even with a bench press, the amount that weight moves weight. Like when I was really heavy, actually when my back was really bad and I was like really heavy for me, you know, I was like 70 kilograms or something, which on my frame is quite heavy, right? I think I was benching about 70 kilograms, which
nice. That's pretty good.
Listen to it. Right. Last night I had a full on argument with Zoe because she was like, I am stronger than you. And I was like, in what world do you think, like, why would you be stronger? She was like, okay, fine, lower body. I was like, everyone's stronger than me, lower body.
That's not fair.
Like, do you actually think your upper body is strong? She was like, yes.
No. No, babe. I love it. James used to do this to me. James and I got into a massive fight on camera when we were filming the show that didn't make it into the show about whether or not food tolerance tests worked, like whether they were.
Oh my God, because you voice noted me after and you're like, just making sure, by the way, because I had this huge thing with James.
No, I was like fuming that he even dared James Haskell, who only knows what he knows, re health and fitness, not in terms of training, but in terms of certainly like nutrition and everything, because of me. And then decided to start his own coaching plan. By the way, have you noticed that, like, I don't know if you've noticed, why would you notice this? Only I would notice this. Loads of ex-rugby players are now like, I do one-to-one coaching. I'm like, I'm sorry, what? Anyway, whatever. And then he was like, no, you just, Bodhi, basically, when she was little, she had really bad acid reflux. So we had to be really careful with what milk we gave her, right? Obviously. James, like, you just decided that she was intolerant and that she had acid reflux, but you had absolutely nothing to go on. And I was like, the fact that she had acid reflux and colic was probably a lot enough to go on. And he was like, well, we never took her for a food intolerance test. And I was like, that's because they're total fucking bullshit. And he was like, no, they're not. How can you say that? There's an entire industry of dietitians doing food intolerance tests. And I was like, yeah, immoral and ethical arsehole dietitians who know that it doesn't work. It's not real. It's not. Anyway, we got into this massive fight. I ended up storming off camera and just going to the toilet and calming myself down. Thank God it didn't make it in.
We'd love that. Right. Hi, both. I've been trying Emma's suggestion about reducing carbs if I have issues with hunger, which I have a lot recently. It's been working. My lunch has been lower carb and my hunger pangs have reduced, but I've not felt that I've had much energy in the afternoon. Is this normal, not related, or something you can adjust to? Honestly, people go one or the other way. I think some of it might be psychological. There isn't a real reason that you should be feeling particularly tired in the afternoon. The carbs are often like a bit of a quick fix that people go to when they're tired. Part of that is just because people tend to crave carbs when they're tired.
Yeah.
But actually not having carbs at lunchtime is one of the reasons I don't have a carby lunch. It's because I want my brain to be on and awake later.
I agree.
On. normally when you have a big carby lunch at like a couple of hours after, you're a bit like, you hit this kind of slump.
Oh.
Normally, if you don't have as much carbs at lunch, you reduce that. So see how it goes, see how you adjust to it. It could also just be, I mean, part of it is normal. Realistically, you know, if you're someone who works roughly 9 to 5, by 3 p.m., 4 p.m. every day, I'm always a bit like, oh.
Me
Okay.
too.
Like that's just because you've been working all, you know, you've been up since whatever time. Like you're tired. That's normal.
Oh, I hit a real wall today. 14 check-ins today, and it got to 4 p.m. and I was like, I literally just lay down on the bench in my gym and I was like, I just need a minute. Okay, anything on the live?
Let me see.
I'm eating your jacket potato because you're not eating it.
Oh, man.
Oh.
What's got in it?
It's just jacket potato and butter. Oh, there's a few leftover beans on it, but not enough to write him about. Say hi. Say hi, Emma.
Hello. Hello.
Do this new thing, this new sulky face. Little
Don't
weirdo.
talk to me.
No, but it's Emma. Say hi, Emma. You say hi. Can you blow a kiss? Okay, she's milk drunk.
Oh, there we go. Right, I had a tooth taken out on Tuesday, and even though I haven't been able to train, get my steps in, or eat like I would normally, my mindset has changed massively thanks to you both. I've come to realize this is a normal week and life happens. Thank you both. What an attitude.
I love that.
Sue's just saying, my first ever live, Chloe and Emma told me to shut up.
Yep. A few thereafter.
And then she says, we've moved up to fuck off now. I'm so here for the fangirling. I was like, I can't remember what we told her. Why we did, I remember that because we were like, shut up, Sue.
You're like, shut the fuck up, Sue. And then she uploaded that photo of herself on a beach, and I suddenly realized we haven't insulted her in a while. So I was like, fuck off. It's just what I commented under it.
Oh my God, love that. Oh, Vicky's feeling left out that we haven't told her to shut up.
Vicky, fuck off.
Vicky.
Vicky, you're so annoying.
Okay, Sarah's saying, holy shit, I stumbled into the app just at the right time. Welcome. Okay, great, thank you. Overall, I do feel much better and more switched on, really low carbs, just sometimes like treading water and trying to walk home, and that's new, maybe just a coincidence. It might be the lower calories, to be fair.
Yeah.
Could be okay. I mean, like technically it could be low glycogen levels, but I doubt you've gone that low carb. Make sure that you're not cutting out things like fruit and veg.
Yeah. And like,
Reducing the starchy carbs a bit.
Okay. Okay. Claire, hey, lovely ladies. Question about pre-workouts. What are the benefits? Is it worth taking before resistance training? I took a scoop for the first time yesterday as I'd had a bad night's sleep, and I'm not gonna lie, I felt a bit off my head. But I really pushed myself with the weights and legs. My legs are really feeling it today. By the time I left the gym, I no longer felt high as a kite. What are your views on it? I know a lot of the gym bros take it daily before training, but I'm not sure if it's a good idea at 5 a.m. when I train. I purposely only drank decaf for the rest of the day as I was a bit worried about my sleep or lack thereof. That's smart. I'm fine with you guys taking pre-workout. It used to be a lot more hairy than it is now. It's better regulated now. But a really strong cup of coffee would do the trick. The only thing that might be different is like if it counted as kind of a thermogenic as well, which does have some minimal additional calories burn and fat oxidized. I'm fine with it. I don't, I'm happy for you guys to take, I take pre-workout sometimes. Emma?
I mean, it's fine. It is a stimulant. Obviously, just remember things like, you know, if you're taking a pre-workout at 6 p.m. and then wondering why you're not sleeping well, it's a big shot of caffeine normally. That the main active ingredient is caffeine. You could argue a little bit that some of the ones that have beta-alanine, which makes your skin tingle, that's an active ingredient. I'd almost argue that it's not, because for beta-alanine to actually work, you need to load it relatively similar to the way that you would load creatine.
True.
Most people aren't doing that. Now, I think the reason that people put it in pre-workouts is because you feel like something's happened, right? If you take something and you're like, I can feel this, like I feel like kind of itchy, uncomfortable, I've got caffeine thrown through me, like you're like, wow, this has worked. Whereas if you take something and you can't really feel that it's worked, then you're less likely to continue to take it. So I do think there's an element of that.
Yeah.
But yeah, like if you need a bit of a boost, have a coffee or have a pre-workout every now and again. I think
Yeah.
I'd prefer generally if people don't take it every single session, but you know, the days that you're feeling like you need a bit of a kick, then I would save it for that.
Yeah, good points. Anything on the live?
No.
Yeah, let's do a couple more because it's getting late. Hello, ladies. I'm loving the plan. I'm falling into the category of an outlier. I'm a small human at 5'1" and sitting around 68.7 kg. I followed your advice and stuck to the 1500 calorie mark for these first 2 weeks, hitting around 10,000 steps a day, sometimes a little less. Workouts I get to at CrossFit gym. So I've managed to do four classes this week so far, and I have a PT session to support my gymnastics goals. I do feel better in myself, not much change on the scales. I was wondering if you'd recommend dropping my calories and possibly upping my steps due to my height. I just want to get the absolute most out of the next 6 weeks. Thank you in advance. It's only been 2 weeks, so I wouldn't do anything just yet. Recalories, and if I had to increase your deficit by something, I would absolutely say I would want to do it by steps, because if you're not always getting a 10K daily average, then that's something we could aim for, even up it a bit to 12, because it's also important that, especially if you're doing like big CrossFit sessions 4 days a week, it's important that you're fueled for those. You need to have room for protein calories, carb calories, and then everything else. So I would much rather that we increase your steps than decrease your calories in. Emma?
Absolutely agree. I wouldn't change anything yet. And also just remember that being a smaller person means that especially if you have, you know, if you weigh less, you're going to have less weight to lose. So, you know, if you back to the initial question we were talking about, if you're like, oh my God, my husband's lost 5 pounds really easily. Yeah, well, he probably weighs like twice as much as you do. There's more of him to lose. You cannot compare yourself to that. Like
Yeah.
if you're a small woman and you don't know, like if you're 4 foot something, but you weigh like 60 kilograms or something, you don't have that much weight, total weight to lose.
Yeah.
If you're a 100 kilogram man, yeah, you're gonna lose weight quicker because there's more of it. So, and do remember that generally people, I mean, there isn't like a textbook amount of weight, but rather than like the standard 1 pound a week, it would be more applicable to be like 1% of body weight a week.
Yes.
So if you weigh a hell of a lot more, you might lose more if you
Yeah,
don't.
absolutely. Okay, let's do this as the last one. Am I right in thinking we're nearly at 45 minutes? Yeah, I don't want to cut it too short.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Jane McManus. Hi, everyone from grey and rainy Manchester. I'm brand new here, and I'm on my second week with you, and I'm absolutely loving it. I feel like I'm doing so well, and my head is well and truly in the game. I am new to the gym and working out. I have been following the 3-set gym workouts of push, pull, and legs. My goal is fat loss, approximately 3 stone to lose, and to build strength as I'm now hitting my menopausal years, brackets, I'm 48. I currently take 20 milligrams of Swiss bovine collagen. I don't really know why, but I think I thought that it would be good for my bones at this age. And also, I have Scandinavian bone broth protein. Although I seem to not have any problems hitting my protein target, 100 milligrams, I think she means 100 grams each day with my meals, so I don't often need it. My question is, shall I continue on with these two supplements, or will it be more beneficial for me to ditch them and start taking creatine, or should I just take it all? Thanks so much, Jane. Well, I would say definitely start taking creatine. I'm going to hand it over to Emma because she's done a lot more research re menopause supplements, better thing overarching. So, Emma?
I would swap it to whey protein and creatine.
Yeah. Just normal advice then. Yeah. Okay. Right.
And
Well, let's.
generally, like almost all menopause advice is normal advice, but it's more important. It's
I
like,
know, but I didn't know if there were any like studies behind certain supplements that I wouldn't have read that you might have read. I don't know.
yeah, collagen, not really so much. I mean, as I'm sure this person knows, that as you age, like especially bone mineral density, especially going through menopause, that is a consideration. But you're doing all the right things, like getting enough protein, resistance training consistently. Those are the key fundamental factors. And you're doing those already. So great. But whey protein is going to be cheaper and a better amino acid spectrum.
Definitely. Okay, last one. Sarah Wood. Hi, I am trying to manage my diet without calorie counting. I'm trying the 3-1 method. I do find it harder to go longer periods without eating, brackets more than 3 hours. I really can't do big meals. I've lost most of my large intestine, so I get on a lot better with smaller meals. Is there a pattern of eating that you can recommend that I can use as a template to eat more often without overeating? I need some structure, and I don't get on with calorie counting for more than a good few days. My exercise steps and protein are good. So, I mean, I would say smaller meals more often for you is much more appropriate. So eating every 3 hours, a small meal that's got, sees you hitting your protein and whatever the amount of fiber is that you can comfortably hit, which might be different for you. And then obviously factoring in things that you like. And I like to do that usually with clients towards the end of the day, because it's nice to get the ball rolling, get the momentum going, and then be like, oh, it's okay, at the end of the day, I'm going to have a scoop of ice cream, whatever, right? I much prefer eating like that. And I don't really, like I say it to clients, I know some clients love having a snack or two in their daily intake, but I personally, and with a lot of clients of mine who really like eating and really like food, I would say eating 4 meals a day spaced every 3 hours is better than being like meal, snack, Emma.
Yeah, I mean, I think given that you have had part of your intestine removed, like it absolutely, if smaller meals agree with you, I think you kind of nailed it in the question. The benefit of the 3-to-1 method, or the benefit of kind of anything that you're doing or looking to hello, not count calories, is the structure behind it. So, food has the same calories whether you're tracking it or not. So if you can have a more structured day, that would be the main thing that I'd be focusing on. So exactly what Chloe's saying, maybe you just like think ahead, plan ahead, know the times that you're going to eat. Again, meal timing and consistency in that is really, really useful. So meal up, maybe it is every 3 hours, or it's just a bit more consistent with smaller meals. But I think the important part, and if you wanted to kind of extrapolate, did you say Chloe?
No, she's having a shit. She's done a poo and she needs to change it. That's why she's having a moan. Anyway, character.
Yeah, if you wanted to use something like the 3-to-1 method, then I would probably still have, right, it doesn't really matter if you're having 3 meals or 2 meals and a snack during the day, or if you're having 4 meals and a snack during the day. It just matters that there's the consistency there, right? And so you know that if you're eating roughly the same things, then you're going to have roughly the same calories. That gives us the consistency from which to monitor and adapt. If you're not tracking, it's a bit more important to be more consistent. Because realistically, you don't have to overcomplicate this. If you're not tracking and you're being consistent and you're not losing weight, then we just look at your diet and we think, okay, where can we cut some calories from this? That's it. You just adapt it because you've now got consistency from which to adapt.
Very well explained.
So
Okay,
she
I'm
might be a good
gonna
one when she's done a poo.
She's done a massive poo and her bum is right in my face. So we're gonna go. Yeah, can you say bye? Can you say bye? Thank you.
Bye.
Okay, right. Love you guys.